Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you on Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago is Danny Burke, and you. Have you recovered from Saturday? Some of you from Sunday, if you're Bears fans. Danny, you look a little green behind the gills. Was it tequila time yesterday? Talk to me.
Man, you know, on the reaction show, I told you the story about how my buddy said every time he didn't think it could get worse, it could. And that's exactly what happened to me this weekend. I'm just down, and I'm just getting the crap beat out of me when I try to get back up every single time with all my sports teams. It's just unbelievable, man. It's pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. It's just impressive how much I'm getting beat down. Luckily, the Bears are still in first, but that game was just unbelievable, dude.
Yeah, you got Osweiler, brother. That doesn't happen.
That makes it so much worse.
We'll take your calls. We are doing this on Mondays for you with Hail Varsity Radio. You can chime in, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. And we'll do Black Shirt Monday in the 5 o'clock hour. Mr. Black Shirt, Charlie McBride. Mondays with Charlie coming up in 1 hour. We'll also hear from Black Shirt Husker, NFLer, and Big Red Wrap-Up's Jay Moore. Get their takes on what they saw Saturday. Coach McBride was in the stands. He was in Evanston for 34-31 overtime. There's some good. There's a lot of bad. There's plenty of ugly we can get into. And we spent a lot of time on Real Red Reaction right after the Nebraska-Northwestern game on ESPN Lincoln. Took your thoughts then. If you didn't care to voice then, or you needed to go for that long, long walk, you know, walk it off, rub some dirt on it, totally get it. But we'll spend a few minutes on Northwestern and figure out how this team can fix it for Saturday. 466-3776-800-825-5865. Where I want to start is, well, with just the mentality here. I want to get into where this team is between the ears and if that's affecting Saturday, if that's affecting Saturday with 4 minutes left when you're up 10. That's affecting Saturday if you're up 14 with 13 and change left. If that affects going into overtime, that's the real deal here. Is those 11 guys out on the field, whether you're on offense or you're on defense or you're in a special teams moment, that's really what it kind of comes down to for me. This team has lost 10 games in a row. This team has found creative, cruel, and unusual ways to lose. And if I'm Nebraska football right now, and I'm Scott Frost, and I'm Eric Chenander, and I'm Troy Walters, and I'm Zach Duvall, I am encouraging these guys to keep after it, obviously. But I am also telling them to look themselves in the mirror. Coach Frost said they found 100 ways to lose that game on Saturday versus finding one or two ways to win it on Saturday. And if I'm Nebraska right now, I am just sick of this. And what they need to be able to go do this Saturday with a full house at Memorial Stadium is just go play. Just go play. Keep the pucker factor from reaching level 12 out of 10. You know, the fan poll is up on HailVarsity.com. What surprised you most about Nebraska football in 2018? The 38 points the defense allows, the offense only averaging 23, the special team struggles, the average number of penalties being 10, the number of transfers. So you can vote in on that. What surprises me most about this football team is that they are finding ways to lose rather than finding a way or two to make the play. It's Murphy's Law. It's what bad can happen, will happen, and it's like they're infected. I don't know if they need a blood transfusion or what, but that is what sticks out to me. I was talking to a guy at the press conference today, and this is a guy you trust and has played well for you throughout his career at Nebraska, Aaron Williams. Okay, Aaron Williams was D'd up against Nagel. And this is what wears me out. When Nagel goes 12 for 220 yards and two touchdowns, and Nagel's the guy making the catches on 4th and 10. 4th and 10, no timeouts. It's John Wayne time. You've channeled your inner John Elway, and you can't come up with a sack, a deflection, or whatever. And we'll talk to Jay Moore about some of the coverage choices, not just personnel, but what you're asking your secondary to do. And Aaron Williams is a guy that's a solid tackler. He's a senior. He's a guy you trust. And a guy you trust is out there just getting beat like he stole something by Nagel. And there wasn't really an adjustment. They targeted him 10 times. Northwestern targeted Aaron Williams 10 times. And it was 10 completions with two penalties that they declined because they already completed them. And that's seeing a guy that is one of your guys with the most experience, a guy that showed out, a guy that's earned a spot back, a guy who's fought back from injury, just getting worked. And they would double Nagel sometimes, but obviously not often enough and make someone else beat you. That sticks out to me. Fourth down, we can discuss that till the cows come home about what you should do, what you did do, and how it's blown up in your face. The number I cannot refute is that Nebraska is 1 for 10 on fourth downs this season. Not all of them are fourth and short, but most of them have been fourth and short. Nebraska's last fourth down conversion came against Troy. They were 1 for 2 against Troy. You may remember it where it might have been JD that caught the fourth down and got the first down. So there's that. The odds of getting a fourth down versus the odds of going for a kick in overtime to get some points. If I'm Scott Frost, I still make that call again. I make the same call. You know why? Because I don't trust my kicker. And maybe he loves his kid so much that he doesn't want to put his kid in position to miss the kick in overtime where he's destroyed and chastised from now till he makes a game winner. That's something that maybe he was thinking about. I don't know. I do know this, that I have better control behind an offensive line. We'll get to your calls here in a moment. Falling forward for a half a yard, even though they're 1 in 10 on attempts, than trusting my kicker who's doinked one off the upright and missed it. You can argue with me on the fourth down call in overtime. Why didn't he go for it at the end of regulation? Why did he punt it? Well, your defense had just gotten you a pick. You were up by 10, right? Things went bad, and they get the field goal. So you're kicking to them up 7, 99 yards to go. It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a half pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. They found a lighter and a gas station. They scored, go to overtime, and you're done emotionally. There's so much that went wrong, and they found a way to lose this. And for them to come back and practice like they did today is incredible. We'll get to the point of losing and getting used that topic of mentality and getting used to losing, because there's a fine line there with that team. I think they are used to losing. You've lost 10 in a row. The last win you had was against Purdue, end of October 2017. You have serious doubt in your mind. That goes to seniors. And that goes to some of the kids that they are playing that aren't seniors, that haven't been part of a losing program. They see the upper guys, the upperclassmen, committing a penalty on the first play of the game, one of your captains, or a guy like Aaron Williams, who's been really solid for you all year, just not having an answer, and no one giving him any help to find an answer. Nobody getting home from a pass rush standpoint, trying to run the football and burn clock, which you didn't do, and ended up punting on fourth down. There's a thousand things that went wrong, and Nebraska found a way to lose this. Bob, thanks for hanging on. Welcome into Hail Varsity, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, Chris, thanks. My wife and I were at the game on Saturday. We went down on a tour bus.
Okay.
And we were furious about how the deep Vance could not get to their quarterback. My God, that guy had all kinds of time to pass in that game. And it just wasn't once. It was over and over and over again. And we kept screaming, come on, get him, get the quarterback. And they just didn't seem to be able to do it.
They had two sacks, seven tackles for a loss. Bob, thank you for your passion, my friend. Thank you for your phone call. No, they did not get to the quarterback when they needed to. I mean, Gifford did, bless his heart. Gifford got there and at least forced three when you're up 31-21. But they do not get to the quarterback often enough. They don't get to the quarterback with their three down linemen and whoever they're bringing as a fourth or a fifth pass rusher. The other problem is, too, from a secondary standpoint, you're not consistent. You tell me what you're supposed to do as defensive coordinator when you got a front four that doesn't get to the quarterback and a secondary that gets beat and either gets whistled for holding or face guarding. What are you supposed to do? At least they brought more pressure in the second half. It wasn't one Mississippi, two Mississippi like it was in the first half. But the defense did all right for three and a half quarters. And then they needed to finish it and couldn't. The offense couldn't finish it. And I guess they finally had complimentary football. The offense and the defense, when push came to shove, could not close out. We'll hear from Scott Frost in a moment. Open phones for you. 466-377-6800-825-5865. What are you most disgruntled about? What aspect of the Nebraska-Northwestern game, other than obviously the overtime loss, 34-31? But what aspect of that loss just ruined you on Saturday? It's all right to vent. Maybe you've moved on. If I put you on hold, stay there. Let's get to Moose. Moose, thanks for calling. Welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, Schmitty, how are you?
I'm all right, man. How about you?
Oh, you know, it's a beautiful day, and the sun came up, so we live to fight another day. I feel like I've been beating the Divine Azigbo drum for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't quite figure out, no matter what the staff, what he does to kind of, I don't know what else he has to do to prove himself, but I think the guy averages 4 or 5 yards a carry.
Times two.
I'd be interested to see the numbers on that 1-for-10 fourth downs, how many times he's gotten a chance to do that. I don't think it's very many. I think that when you're trying to run clock, feed him the ball. I think when you need a yard on fourth down, feed him the ball. And I think that we'd have a little bit better numbers on that 1-for-10, and I think maybe we would have had a win on Saturday, but that's something I've been hollering about, and I hear other people hollering about for a number of years now when it comes to Ziggy. So
And here's the thing with Ziggy. They gave him the ball three times.
Yeah.
It's 2 minutes and change left in the fourth quarter, and this ain't on him. He'll move the pile. He at least got some yards.
Right.
Right? The O-line's got to make it for him. He'll help push from behind. But the O-line's gotta be better on fourth and short, on third and short. They've been horrific all year long for most of the year.
You're absolutely right, and I would love to not be in the shotgun on those fourth and shorts.
But they tried snapping it a couple of times under center, and it didn't work out so hot either.
No, you're right. I'm not sure where to go with it. Like you said, anything that can go wrong is going wrong right now, and it feels like the scales have got to tip the other way at some point. Mm-hmm. But I appreciate you taking the call, and just real quick, lastly, Lincoln Lutheran's going to the playoffs, so let's root hard for our Lincoln Lutheran Warriors.
All right, that's a Lincoln Lutheran winner right there, Moose. Well done, sir. Good for Lincoln Lutheran, playoff bound again. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Danny is hustling like no other to get your phone calls on. We'll take more of your calls. If you didn't get in on Real Red Reaction, we want to hear from you. What specific part of Northwestern wore you out the most? Do we have time for Ryan? F-bomb Ryan? F-bomb Ryan, you got a minute. Go for it.
I was pretty pleased with the game overall. And since I got a minute, also catch the chase. I thought in that last offensive possession that Nebraska had, I don't remember exactly how much time was left. I know that Northwestern had three timeouts left. Nebraska the first down.
About 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, and I just thought we played it too safe. You know, and my thought was, I mean, hey, we're 0-5. Let's run a trick play, or let's just launch one down the field to Morgan and pray to God he comes down with it. But just those three straight runs, you know, we got nowhere. You know, they get the ball back, you know, game tied. You know, I just thought they could have rolled the dice maybe a little more there instead of playing it safe. That was just my opinion.
Yeah, I thought they played well enough to win too, Ryan. Thank you for listening and your call, bud. Here's the thing. Frosty tried throwing the football against Colorado when they were up. And you're going, what the hell? Why are you throwing the football? Why not run it? It's a double-edged sword for him on that. Line's got to be better. You got to block better.
Now live from the ESPN Lincoln Studios, it's Hail Varsity.
I know what that means.
With Chris Schmidt and Danny Burke.
Got a line open, 800-825-5865. Get to your calls here. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, recapping Northwestern. What are you irked most about from Saturday? And Blackshirt McBride, less than an hour away. We'll talk to Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Next hour, we'll also hear how Danny's weekend went against the bookie. That is on the way, and he is smirking at me. Can find and follow us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, @DannyBurke5, @HaleVarsity. Can't make a phone call. Send us a tweet, your thoughts on Saturday. The mentality, and we'll get to Coach Frost here in a minute on that. That is a major concern. It's been a concern. Now it's not just an elephant, but you got a family of elephants in that room when it comes to winning time and how you process that as a player. How are they going to move forward and go do it? Well, you just got to go play. Go have fun. Don't be afraid to make plays. You had moments where guys, I think, were either out of position, weren't sure what they were doing, or afraid to fail. And you had moments from the coaching staff where they made missteps. Again, I'm 1,000% on board going for it on fourth and short, despite being 1-for-9 before the fumbled, the grounder snap back to Adrian.
I'm right there with you, 100%. You got to go for it.
And as far as punting and the end regulation, and as far as being more creative, that's fine. You can roll them out and get exotic, and if you have a tackle for a loss, then you're going to be screaming about the play call. Again, it's a catch-22. Block better. You ran behind two seniors at center and left guard, all right? And you didn't get anything done. You didn't. You had a swing pass that Ziggy dove for and crash-landed. They got you some points at least to make it 31-21. When push came to shove, put it on the O-line and get it done. Now, you've had enough evidence right now to look at what your O-line can do and what they are not good at. That's another discussion. Tim's been on hold. Tim, thanks for calling. Bud, go ahead.
Schmitty, how are you today?
I'm good, brother. How about you?
You know, yesterday was my birthday. It snowed on my birthday for the first time in forever. It was nice because when your wife and I were out shopping for my gifts, we were able to get in the coffee shop, get some hot to drink, enjoy the views outside. It was perfect as far as that was concerned.
However, Tim, I just thank you for taking her.
You know, at the end of the day, the new watch was worth it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I wouldn't want her for any more time than I had her, but, you know, that's life. That is what it is.
We're all doing time with her, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, and I still haven't got my check from the state for the last time. I'm looking forward to that, too.
She used to be a pro dancer.
it's life.
Uh-huh.
I've got.
I thought he was going to say, "I know."
No, I do know. the whole kicking game is infuriating. I mean, yeah, I'm a big kid. I kicking was never an option. Even the Penn State kicker that tackled people was smaller than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be able to find a kicker that, you know, from 30 yards can do something. That's annoying. But what's really annoying is when you see on Twitter and you watch all the hype stuff for the season to get started about our offensive linemen that can squat 9 million pounds, but they can't push a guy 6 inches. That is, to me, that is so frustrating that it's obviously not a physical thing. If they can lift whatever they can lift sitting there in a weight room, they've obviously got the physical tools. I just wonder how much of it's a mentality that maybe was bred into them the last few years, and it's still working to get changed. I think you can tell the competitive spirit is there, and in the future it's going to work out. But it's tough to hear about these guys doing these amazing things in the weight room and with training and conditioning and then not going out there on the field. Like you said, for two seniors not to be able to pick up 3 feet, that's annoying. You give me 4 glasses of Jameson, I can knock somebody 3 feet backwards no matter what the cost.
And
so hopefully they get that figured out. Once again, tell your wife thank you for the birthday gift. It was lovely. Have a great day. And when are you going to change calling Jay Moore, a former black shirt, to city golf champion or state golf champion Jay Moore?
I mean, when he takes me golfing with him again, I will change that.
I'll give him a call. Well, the three of us can go, and if we can't beat him, I mean, I think the two of us could probably handle him in a physical one-on-one, one-on-two.
I would lean on you with that. Tim, be good, brother. Thanks for the call.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye. There he is, Tim. Spent the day with my wife. That's why it was peaceful. Ted, you're up. Go ahead, bud.
Yeah, thanks, Freddie. Appreciate you taking my call. Now, I called you last week, and my take at that time was that the best coach is going to win the game, and I think it's the case. Mm. I think that Frost needs to perhaps be a little bit more humble. If he takes his lead from Tom Osborne when he was losing all of those bowl games, Tom reached out to Bobby Bowden and said, "Hey, brother, help me out." Mm. And Bowden did. And I think Frost coming in saying, "The Big Ten's going to have to figure me out. I don't have to figure them out," was really arrogant. That having been said, I'm 100% sure Frost is the right guy. He's a very smart guy. He'll figure it out. But he has to learn how to win in the Big Ten, not how to win football, period.
No, there is some adjustment for sure, Ted. Appreciate you tuning in. And there is a bit of cockiness. It is what it is. But now you're being humbled. How do you react to being humbled? Well, you keep working hard. You keep your kids' spirits up. But there needs to be some performance. And whatever the amount of Jameson needed for Tim to move somebody back and get a fourth and short or a third and short, it's maddening. And it's been going on before Frost got here. And how long is it going to continue to go on with Frost being here is the question. Phone lines are open. You want to chime in here at 466-377-6800. 825-5865. We're doing this Mondays, open phone Mondays, for you to vent and at some point celebrate a victory by Nebraska football. 0-6 stings. What torched you off most about Saturday? We're discussing that. We'll get into the USA Today blog post here coming up about what it would cost to buy Frost out. That guy was destroyed, and rightfully so, on social media. The USA Today digital writer, man, Berkowitz was his name, even throwing that out there. national analyst, Pizzo's coming on with us tomorrow, and he crushed the guy. But just stupidity. And listen, you had a lot of local folks in the media questioning the Riley hire, but national people loved him. Right now, a lot of the national folks are questioning Frost because he's Ofer. The local media here, we're still on board. And yes, he's the guy. And as long as it takes for him to turn it around, he's going to be the guy. Hold that up again for me, Danny. I'm sorry, my memory's shot. Let's go to Brian first. We'll get to you in a minute here, Shane. Brian, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I don't know why I do it to myself, but I'm part of some of these Husker groups and everybody, and there's a few out there that are saying, oh, we just need to fire him.
That, see, and listen, man, people have the freedom to say whatever they want. But someone needs to stop and tell them to quit being stupid. Don't be stupid. It's ridiculous. 0-6 is awful. Whether they could have, should have, would have been 3-3 or 1-5 or whatever the case may be, man. It isn't the start that anyone envisioned. Some maybe did 3-9 because of this transition. I don't know. But nobody thought he'd be doing what he's doing here. But I don't know that it's all on him. He's not been perfect. His guy's got to start playing and start doing things.
Yeah, and as a true, I bleed scarlet and cream. I'm going to love them if they go 0-12 for the rest of eternity. But, you know, down to my core, I'm crying like a little girl in the fetal position. But you know what? I'm with him. I don't care if he goes 0-12 0-12 this season. Okay, well, he better win that Bethune-Cookman. But 1-11 this year, he can do that. He can go 4-8 next year. It's the step in the right direction. And as far as I'm concerned, I have this gut feeling that if we, just hypothetically speaking, if we were to get rid of Frost, I highly think that would be the death of Nebraska football.
No, you're going to have empty seat night every day from now till the second coming, Brian, if you make another coaching change, period. You've made four. You had to beg this guy to come back because he's great. It just ain't going so well right now. I mean, this is do or die for the program. So you're going to let him take his sweet-ass time till it gets turned around. There's things he's going to pick up about the Big Ten. There's recruiting that he's going to do. There's some humbling that's going on. But he's also very innovative and talented. He'll get it figured out. Period. And that is that's your answer. That's your short-term and long-term answer. There should be zero discussion about... And there is. There is no discussion on my end or Danny's end about coaching search. The fact you even bring it up is so hot take, Skip Bayless. Let's click on Twitter and on usatoday.com. That's why you do it. Shane has been patient. Shane, welcome in. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got the cure for our short yardage situations.
Punt?
Two words, four syllables, quarterback sneak. We just got to do it from under the center. The Patriots can do it with one of the least mobile quarterbacks on the planet consistently from 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 with Tom Brady. Our quarterback 6'2", 230. I don't care how poorly our line's been blocking, they can get us a foot with a quarterback sneak.
What you could do, too, is you have an H-back. Fall on top of him and push him forward.
Yeah. I mean, they can do the Reggie Ball, Matt Leiner.
Mm-hmm.
I do that all day.
You could absolutely do it. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate you, Shane. Shane's saying quarterback sneak under center. Just go for it and get the conversion. Comes down to the line. That's it. That's absolutely it. I want to remind you about your friends at the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety. Time to buckle up. The laws of physics apply whenever you're in your vehicle and you are traveling the same speed as your vehicle. Even when you're sitting on your butt, when your vehicle stops abruptly, that's hard to stop your body in motion. Either the seatbelt can stop you or the windshield can stop you. And a seatbelt will prevent excessive injury to your body. Whether you're in the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat, buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. More of your calls, 466-377-6800-825-5865.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago's Danny Burke. 20 minutes away, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride, who is in the stands I think he wanted a helmet and a mouthpiece. We'll take some of your thoughts on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, @DannyBurke. Give us a follow. Can dial in. What irked you most about Northwestern, aside from the outcome and the way it went down? It's obvious, I believe, short yardage has been an ongoing issue. Fourth down conversions have been an ongoing issue. And I'm okay with going for it in overtime. Everyone will scream, take the points. Brother, blindfold and a cigarette. That's probably where your kicker's confidence is right now.
Have you heard a lot of people saying that they'd rather have kicked it? Because it seemed like from the reaction show and everyone else, they were fine with going for it.
I've heard both sides.
Okay.
Right? I have heard both sides. And it's very frustrating that you can't get a yard.
And it was also one of those things when the game was going to overtime, pretty much everyone knew Northwestern was most likely going to come out of that. They had all the momentum at that point. So also in the mind of Frost, you have to go in the end zone because Northwestern is going to put in the end zone most likely no matter what.
Your defense is punch drunk.
Right.
They've done a good enough job for 3.5 quarters. They got you the pick. They got you up by 10. I mean, it was a group effort loss, right? But the defense completely melted down. The offense didn't pick the defense up when they needed to. By burning more clock, by getting first downs, by scoring more points. This game was a shootout. And the offense was up 14. They were up 10. And the defense would have a breakdown. But the offense went quite a ways. I mean, you had bookend scores in the first half, right? First possession of the ball game, you get a touchdown. End of half, you get a touchdown. You miss a field goal, you miss an extra point. I mean, you had several three and outs there by your offense, and the defense kept that thing at 14. By the way, they kept it at 7 because he had a strip sack for a touchdown where Northwestern got in. Wasn't on the defense there. But when it's 4th and 10 and you keep getting pinata'd, that's a wear out. Dave is with us. Dave, thanks for holding on. Go ahead, bud.
Hey, enjoy the program. Love listening to you.
Thanks, man.
You know, I've coached my fair share of football, and this team's going to live or it's going to die on its offensive line.
Agreed.
Ozigbo is, I mean, that guy is just a yeoman, isn't he? Mm-hmm. I mean, he has done so much to transform himself. He's running the ball. And if people don't notice, I do. He's not fumbling that football. But that offensive line's got to be able to drive 3 yards when it has to, not when it's convenient, when it has to. And I'll hang up and let you address the rest of that.
It's absolutely the case. And it's kind of like, let's throw back here a little bit. It's the Nebraska way. Going to go old school and be the run the ball guy here, but that is the Nebraska way. You need 2 yards, done. You need a half a yard, done. It's not been that way for a long time, but that's what you remember watching. And that's what it needs to get back to, even with this dual threat, explosive tempo. That's what Frost wants to do, blend the speed with the power. Well, you got to get some of that power. And I think they're running into an issue of trust. This is the best we got. And these guys are who we believe in. They show it to us in practice. And they're okay with showing it to us in games. This is who we got on the offensive line. This is who we have in the secondary. This is who we have on the defensive line. This is who we have at linebacker. Folks, it screams kind of an average football team. They're trying. They're doing their best. You've got some real flat-out studs and stars at the skill spot. But where you live and die, to quote Dave's words, in the Big Ten is on the lines of scrimmage. The skill guys separate you and make it work, like Penn State. Oops, wait a minute. Michigan State. Yeah, they out-punched Penn State on the lines of scrimmage. Ohio State. They out-punch people on the lines of scrimmage. Iowa. Outmaneuvers. I mean, they mud wrestle you, man. And then they stick your head in the mud. And then there's Wisconsin. Wisconsin's coming back to earth. You see a difference in talent. Apples and oranges for what Michigan had, just like explosive elite athletes. on that front seven against a great offensive line for Wisconsin. But your Achilles heel's Hornibrook. Danny, what are you doing?
Dude, that was the most pathetic performance by a college football team I might have seen, more than any Nebraska game so far.
He started 3 for 3 throwing the football and then went like, let's go to the Yips.
I texted you, I was like, Hornibrook owes me money, man.
Of course, he owes a lot of people money, apparently, based on how he played.
Wisconsin was just terrible. They get that penalty over the long snapper, and then that results in Michigan touchdown. They don't go for it on 4th and 3. If we're talking about powerful offensive lines, that's what Wisconsin's supposed to have, and they didn't go for it there. That was pretty much surrendering there.
It's easy to scream, go for it, but
at that point in the game, they needed to go for it.
From a context standpoint, that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
What irked you most? I'm complaining about the offensive line play, and I know Nebraska ran well, and they popped some runs, and Ziggy was lathered up, and he was doing his thing. But the offense, after the defense just gave up a march for 3 to make it a 7-point game, brother, you want that as an offensive line. And Frost, don't criticize him for his play calls not being creative. He put it on the O-line. And then he put it back on the defense to go make a play. That's part of growing up. And yeah, it sucks and it hurts and it kills you as a Nebraska fan. But these guys got to go finish in these situations. Don't bail them out. And he didn't. We're going to run the football 3 times. Ziggy, you're going to do your best. And O-line, you go get it for him. Let's talk about Scott Frost. When it comes to getting used to the losses. Apologies about this audio. It's best we got. But the theme here, the last couple of minutes here, is where this team is at between their ears. And when it comes to losing, are they getting used to losing?
Yeah, you know, I was worried about it on Sunday and this morning before they got here. I was shocked at how For less reason, sometimes I wish people could see inside the walls and see how good the culture is right now and how much it's turned, how much better it is, and how much the guys are banding together. The one concern I have, as great as it was today, it was our best practice ever. The one concern I have is I don't want the guys to get used to losing and be okay with it. And I know the vast majority of our team isn't, but I don't want them to get comfortable with it either. So that's the one concern I have, but that's far outweighed by how the guys came back to work today with an attitude and a smile on their face and went to work.
So he's loving how the guys bounce back, but they haven't won in 10 weeks. They should be used to going back to work trying to get better. You love that resilience of not saying F it and tapping out. Because DiCaprio Boodle said, yeah, we would have just said screw it a year ago. This year we're fighting. Good. That's step one. But finish. We'll see if they can do that against Minnesota. We'll wind down hour one. Coach McBride's on the way. More of your calls, 466-3776.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome.
All right, let's get to Jack. He's been on hold. Jack, go ahead. Thanks for calling.
I'm sorry, guys, you're missing it. That 4th and 1, what difference does it matter? What matters is with far less talent other than a quarterback and one wide receiver, Northwestern had 1 penalty for 5 yards. Nebraska had 9 penalties, 7 of them coming at absolutely the worst times. And until they get that fixed, they're a bad football team.
Jack,
and
you
I
are
care,
Jack. Jack,
I do not care how many 4th and 1s they get. They're got to get this penalty. You can't when Davis decided to give the quarterback a right cross in the end zone, and they got 15 yards. I told my wife, "We're going to lose this football game," and sure as hell, it happened.
Jack, the penalties are inexcusable. You are absolutely correct with that. Carlos got hosed on that call. I know it's a different era of protect the quarterback. They're an endangered species. But it's not like he crowned him. He got through, hands up to get in the passing window, and he got flagged for it. It was not even like a half a step, and he was there as Thorson was getting rid of the football. There's a history because Carlos has done it before. I get it. But yeah, penalties are killers, and you can't shrug them off. And for a while, you were at four and then five, and then by the end of the game, it crept up. You get nailed for some pass interference calls that are just mind-boggling. You have a false start that turns a third and one into a third and five that just wears you out. I mean, gosh. Jack, you're right. Penalties got to get cleaned up, and that's an issue with guys between the ears. When the moment comes, are you puckered up, or can you just go play? And guys are either getting beat or aren't talented enough to offset the competition they're facing. Do you want to get out of Dodge for Thanksgiving, for Black Friday, for Nebraska, for Iowa? Can we qualify you? Your good friends at T.O. Haas, the Black Friday road trip with ESPN Lincoln. We'll do that giveaway the 9th of November. What I want you to do now is, what caller are you interested in taking right now to qualify for the Black Friday road trip? The road trip from ESPN Lincoln sends you to Iowa City for Nebraska, Iowa, takes care of your hotel, and takes care of your gas. That is a winner. Go see Nebraska. Go see the Hawkeyes. Black Friday road trip. The prize pack. Tickets to Nebraska, Iowa. Hotel stay the night before the game. $100 Jet Splash gift card. $100 gas card. You can log on ESPN Lincoln to enter online. But we'll take caller 9 right now to qualify for the Black Friday road trip with ESPN Lincoln. Go to Iowa City and see Nebraska end that streak against the folks across the river. 466-377-6800-825-5865-466-377-6800-825-5865. Caller 9 qualifies. That giveaway going to be happening on the 9th of November. Caller 9 right now. We'll qualify you next hour for Nebraska Minnesota tickets.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2, at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. We welcome in Mr. Blackshirt. Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride. I don't know what's up with me, but I have BTN on in the studio, and they're re-airing the Nebraska game just for my well-being. A man in the stands at Northwestern. And incredible Hall of Famer Charlie McBride. Coach, you got back from Chicago okay. How are you?
Yep. Well, I got back in good shape, and I'm doing good. I enjoyed the game for the most part. And the other part I didn't enjoy. So, but it was a great trip anyway, and the kids played hard. And that's kind of what I was hoping they'd do. And they played hard enough to win, and same old. The bottom fell out at the end of the game, and I don't know, where that's coming from. I do know one thing. I don't think you're going to find a more accurate or a better throwing quarterback in this conference. He's a drop-back player, mostly, than Thorson. He's really special, and he has been. And, again, he's been a starter out all the way through, I think, since he was a freshman. So, you can get the idea that they're well-disciplined. I've known their head coach ever since the day I recruited him. Mm-hmm. And You know, he's one of those guys. He was an all-Big Ten player. He was an all-Big Ten academic person. So, you know, he's coming from the right side of the tracks, and his kids are, too. His players are doing the exact same thing as he requests. You either do it or you get the one-way bus ticket back to the other side of town.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so the only thing that disappointed me, I think, in the game is, you can be nice to players so long. And sometimes they need to understand a little better. And when I saw the penalty on the first play of the game, I nearly jumped out of the stadium. However, that player stayed in the game. And until you start jerking guys when they make a bad mistake, and that's a mistake. That's a personal player mistake. And he needs to be shown on his way off the field and his substitute coming in. I don't think there's any other way to make complete. I don't care if he's a captain. I don't care who he is. But you can't just let him stay out there and keep pounding and doing things like, you can put him back in the game in a few plays. There's nothing wrong with that. But people need to understand that you're not going to stand for it. And one of the ways that you're not sure they're not going to stand for it is if they keep him in the game. And so that would be, if there's anything in it, you know, teaching, all those things, I don't know. You know, I'm not there. I can't talk about that. I can't talk about their defensive schemes, things like that, because I'm not there. But there is some fundamental things that have to be taught over and over and over again. And I thought the thing that hurt us this week the most, I thought our linebackers played pretty good. I thought our defensive front played pretty good. We put more pressure on people. I thought that was good. But I think our secondary is either a lot of injuries or we're not being, you know, we're not picking up on the fundamental things.
Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, we'll get into the penalties, and you just spelled it out. If you keep committing them, start watching versus playing. I want to get into the mentality of a game like Saturday where you're up, then you, for whatever reason, can't close, and this is the 10th consecutive loss now for Nebraska football.
Right.
I hate saying that. I can't believe I'm saying it, but we keep hitting that number and not finishing right out. What can be done from a mentality standpoint? And Coach Frost mentioned it today in his postgame. He loves how resilient his guys are, but he doesn't. It's not okay to get used to losing, and they're trying to break that. How do you get it so guys aren't afraid to finish out a team versus going, uh-oh, here we go again? That whole post-traumatic stress disorder that they can get when a team starts driving from the one-yard line.
Well, I think one of the things that happened to me today, I went out for breakfast, and one of my good friends that from here is there, and he said, you know, and he was not trying to be a wise guy, or he said, you know, a lot of teams know how to win, and Northwestern's one of them. And it looks like Nebraska knows how to lose. And that kind of, you know, you think about it, and it's hard. It only comes from the players. It comes from them being together talking about things. There's still some dashes in this football team, I think. You know, in other words, there's still some spaces in there that aren't closed. You know, maybe it's personnel, but it looks like maybe sometimes guys aren't listening to their coaches. Fundamentally, I'm not talking about discipline or any of that stuff. Fundamentals takes a long time. When you start switching kids around from corner to safety to this, they don't get a feel for what they're really doing. And it's hard when you get guys that, you know, haven't had enough fundamental work, period. And, you know, if you look at it, we play pretty good against the run now. And, I mean, we have played pretty good against the run. Years we've given up some big plays. But against in the secondary, we haven't played that well. And part of it is because of the pass rush. We've been doing too much pushing. We're starting to look like we were last year. The linemen are just doing nothing. Now we started putting pressure on people. Pressure is a thing that has to be done in repetition. You just don't go out today and say, okay, we're going to blitz them today. You know, we haven't done it all year, but we're going to go out and put pressure on this quarterback. You know, if you're in the NFL, that's not a problem. But you have had all preseason, all to do all this stuff, but all of a sudden now you're going to put pressure on people. I think you got to, you know, you have to mix it in. If you're not a person that likes pressure, fine. The other thing is maybe we have, I've done this now. We go back to square one. We go back to what they've been working on from spring ball, and we do the blitzes that we've done there, and we just work on stuff that everybody's familiar with, and they walk out on the field, and they understand where they're what's going on better. If you put in new things early in the week, there's not enough time to practice the new things plus the things that you know good. Keep going on the things that you know good and ease into the other stuff. I don't know how they're doing it, so, you know, you can't. I'm not sitting here complaining. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that those are some of the things that go through my head.
Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. His thoughts on Northwestern and Nebraska. And Northwestern's, I think, 5-0 in overtime games. Last year when they beat Nebraska in overtime, they set a record for most overtime wins consecutively. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they haven't played an overtime game this year, I don't think. Maybe they did against Akron. I'm not sure. But the point is Northwestern finds ways to win. You're absolutely right about that. And Nebraska's found ways to lose games, whether being blown out or it's a close ball game. But when it comes to finishing, that's what Coach Frost said he talked to his teams about today. And don't have that voice of doubt creep in your head. I want to go to the offensive line. You've laid out the defense and your thoughts on the defense. Offensive line-wise, and this is what I was complaining about for the last hour, and I have no problem with Coach Frost going for it in overtime versus trying to kick one, right? Get me a yard, offensive line. Get me a first down with 2.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, because they'd been running well for most of the game. But the thing is, can you run the football when they know you're going to run the football? And Nebraska's still trying to get better there. You coached O-line at such a high level before switching to defense. What are your thoughts on the offensive side of things?
You have to believe in each other. You have to really believe. And these kids are they're young. They're trying to do the right things fundamentally. They're trying to do everything right. But they haven't gotten that feeling that you had, say, when we had, you know, we had good years. Mm-hmm. We had what we called a pipeline, and I think, right. You know, it was a matter, they knew, all of them knew what had to be done and got it done. And, you know, and when you're a young player and all of a sudden, oh, I've started three games or two games now at tackle or guard or, so you got kids out there that are starting for the first time in two or three games ago.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be a unit that almost loves each other. I mean, a unit that sticks, that's together, and you can trust them as a coach. And there's not that trust, I don't think, there. You know, when you have a 1 inch to go, and, you know, You don't have anything, go for it. You don't have anything to lose, the heck with it. You know, and if you get stopped with 3 inches, then you get stopped with three, whatever it was. I could go into something I saw that I didn't like in the game because I made a point to look at it.
Okay.
If you can take the chain and you're an official, when the chain is picked up, it is marked. It was marked on the back side of the line, the chalk line.
Mm-hmm.
When it was placed down, it was placed in the front of the chalk line. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's only, what, 3 inches?
Yep.
Okay? But that can make a difference where that ball is. And I wouldn't say, but if you go back and look at that, that made a difference. Now, either those guys are doing something wrong or I don't know. But those are the things that are little things that nobody ever even sees. You know, and then we had a pass, a roughing the passer. Well, if you can pull him out of what he was doing, okay, and tell him halfway through that, now we want you to get, you can't do that, go over to this side.
Mm-hmm.
You have to go over to that side. You have to do that. You have to adjust. Man, you better be good, because if you're playing with your heart and you're playing as hard as you can, adjusting ain't real good. But when you hit the quarterback, when the ball's almost in motion, when going to be thrown, he throws it and you hit him, how that can be roughing the quarterback, I don't have a clue. So inconsistently in all of football, why? Because we're changing the rules, and nobody can get flat what's going on. It looked like to me in some cases that the college guys are watching film on, are watching the pros on Sunday and listening to what they're talking about instead of what the NCAA rules say.
I agree. The penalties, there's been some questionable if he called. I think if Nebraska's corners look wrong at a wideout, they get flagged. Coach, I got about 2 minutes here. Little less than, can the kids go have fun Saturday and get a win?
Yeah, they got to have fun. Heck with it. Hey, go ahead. This is a fun, this is a game. You're not supposed to be stiff. This is a fun game. Go play. Just turn it loose. Look at, just go play as hard as you can and hug each other, do everything. You know, I mean, that's the way you win games.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important that all this stuff, they're all tight. I'm afraid to do that. Hey, forget that stuff. Just go play the game. Be as disciplined as you can. That's all you can say to them. And play as hard as you can. And I'll promise you, they will win. And I got a sneaking suspicion again. I keep saying that same thing every week. But somewhere along the line, I thought last week, you know, except for I didn't think we played real good on defense, but that here and there. But I really think it goes for everybody. And if you want to blitz, blitz them. If you feel like putting pressure, do it. Don't sit there and choke and swallow the olive. Well, maybe. Let it go. Have fun. Let the kids have fun. You think they have fun standing in there getting a snot knocked out of them? No, let's go. Let's go someplace and have some fun and rip this place up.
Charlie, you know? McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, getting fired up for Minnesota on Saturday. Coach, we'll be talking
to
you.
I'll be there.
Okay, good. Well, I'll bump into you, more so bother you, in the press box.
Okay. I don't know where I'm going to be, but I'll be there.
You're going to be hiding is what you're
okay.
telling me.
Okay.
You take care, Coach. We'll see you on Saturday.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you. Bye.
There he is, Charlie McBride. Go have some fun. Go rip it up. All right, let's put the eye black on. More Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore is coming up. Blackshirt Monday. We'll take some of your emails. We get to those here coming up at 5:40. More time for your calls as well, 466-3776 or chris@halevarsity.com is how and where you can email.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back into it. It's Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's get caught up with Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore at JMoore44 on Twitter. And you see him on Big Red Wrap-Up Tuesday nights. Jay, it's now 0-6. How did you spend Saturday?
Yeah, you know, I spent it up in Omaha hanging out with some family watching it. Yeah, what a tease that was. You're thinking this thing's looking pretty good. You're feeling pretty good about yourself to go into Northwestern again and get your team's first W. But unfortunately, it shows you how hard it is to win a football game. It shows you how tough it is to beat a team like Northwestern. They typically close out football games very well, and it shows you how close but yet how far away Nebraska still is to being a better football team and a better football program. There were some good things that we saw, but there's obviously there's still some issues that are hurting this football team. Your record is what it is. You're an 0-6 football team. There's reasons for that, and there's plenty of things that we all saw in that game on Saturday that points towards that 0-6 record.
Let's go with the bad news first before the kind of good news, if there is any, other than at least it went to overtime, right? The issues. What were the issues that stuck out to you, and can they get rectified by Row Your Boat and company rolling in here?
The issues are penalties, first and foremost. That's penalty. I mean, it still kills you. I look at Carlos Davis, roughing the passer. I mean, 5 years ago, that's not a penalty, but he did hit him in the head. And, that's the second time he's gotten roughing the passers in key situations of football games. That can't happen. Those penalties are issue. Look, still offensive, just the penalties in whole. I mean, that, pass interference calls, but the other issues, the Nebraska defense overall played pretty good, tackled well, had good coverage, made Northwestern one-dimensional, made them throw it 62 times, but again, they cannot get off the field in key situations. I mean, Northwestern converts two fourth downs, fourth and longs, on that 99-yard drive there to tie the game, send it overtime. That's an issue. We saw it against Purdue. Can't get off the field in third and long. Those are problems. Those are major, major issues. And then you flip it to the offense of the issues with their penalty situation. But again, the third and shorts, you get a penalty. Fourth and you go for it on fourth down. You can't snap the ball right. Those are major issues. This team did enough things well to win this football game, but the issue is in key moments, this team spits the bit. They just cannot get over the hump. They shooting yourselves in the foot, whatever you want to call it. They I don't know if they're overthinking it or what, but they just in key moments where good teams win football games. It's just one play, really, what it is, and they just can't do it. They can't get that one play, that one snap, that one stop, not jumping off sides for one play, getting this right snap for one play. It's frustrating because it's that close, but it shows you mentally that these guys are still a ways away from getting it right.
Jay Moore is with us, Hail Varsity Radio at JayMoore44. On Twitter, co-host Big Red Wrap Up. So, have you ever been in a spot like that with a team where it looks like it is mental? I mean, it's turning into physical by the actions and the penalties, the false starts, the snaps, the blown coverages, the getting beat on routes by Nagel, 12 for 220 and two touchdowns. And really no change with who's on him in the secondary. I mean, the way to get over it is to go win, right? Go make a play. But if you're going PTSD when you're in these closeout situations, and now it's up to 10 in a row. You've lost 10 in a row. Have you been a part of something like that?
Oh, no, I haven't. I mean, even I look at our rough year when Coach Callahan came in. I think we went 5-6 or 5-7. I can't remember if we played 12 games yet. We had times where in games where you have way more talent than the team is, but you commit those things. You don't put yourselves in the right situations pre-snap before a play to where now you panic. And you have to do something else, which maybe causes a penalty. You know, you just don't think through it. The situation almost becomes too big. And I think that happens when teams aren't very mentally tough, because I think good football teams have an ability to forget the scoreboard and just leave, you know, let the coaches worry about it. You forget the scoreboard by the means, you know what, it doesn't matter if it's the first play of the game, if it's the 92nd play of the game, you should be playing it just like any other snap. It doesn't matter if you're ahead, you know, by four touchdowns, you're down by four touchdowns. You still should be playing it like it's the first snap. And it kind of, I don't know if this is an issue or not, but there's this, it's a recurring issue that you get in these key situations, Nebraska just kind of trips over their own feet. So I don't know if they make it bigger than what it is. They're kind of putting the situation on a pedestal, and making it a bigger deal. I don't know, but you know, I've never lost 10 in a row. I know, I lost a couple, you know, maybe two or three in a row. I've been a part of some NFL teams that were really bad. I look back at it, but I'm, you know, NFL and the college game is so vastly different. But it's puzzling, to say the least, that this team just can find so many ways. There's so many ways to win a game, but yet Nebraska is finding so many ways to lose a game. It's just really perplexing to me right now.
So what's Chenander and Frost do? I mean, the practice was good. Coach Frost was adamant, I don't want these guys to get used to losing. So he's proud of them for bouncing back, but you've lost 10 in a row, so you kind of should be used to it, and you don't want that mentality at all. What are the steps you take? I mean, when it comes to sitting guys down, or is that part of the depth topic Coach talks about, just being thin at some spots?
Yeah, I think depth is a key, you know, issue. I mean, there's some guys you think maybe should sit down, but who are you bringing in? I mean, they just got to go and win a damn game, make a play. I had my defensive coordinator Greg Minuski in San Francisco always said, don't be an almost player. You know, don't almost make a good play. Don't almost make a good tackle. Don't almost make, you know, an interception. Make it. You know, being an almost player is not your – that means you're a bad football player. Nebraska is almost a good football team because they've almost won a lot of – a decent amount of football games. They've almost made a lot of plays this year, and they just haven't. They need to do it. Just do it, you know. If you're practicing well, if you're doing these things well during the week, then go do it during the game. It's just simple as that. You can talk about, oh well, you know we talk about the mental issues, the buy-in, the culture, whatever. You know, this is the seventh game of the year. It's time to go start making these plays in key moments to do it. And they made some key plays. You know, got key turnovers in key moments. You know, you get a 2-point conversion. You do all these things, but yet you still can't seal the deal. It's just time for them to do it. You know, we can talk about all the different ways there is to skin a cat, but it's just time for Nebraska to show up and do it for once and quit almost being a good football team. You know, it's time for them to make it happen.
Jay, thoughts on the 99-yard drive? It was fourth and short. Frosty elects to punt. Then we go to overtime, and you get the grounder to short. On the fourth and in inches snap, you bypass the field goal and you go for it. Any second guessing on that? I'm glad he went for it in overtime. I know points are points. I know your fourth and short conversion rate's horrendous. I think you're 0 for, to be honest. That said, you just don't know what you're going to get from a kicker, despite the fact he just had made one to kind of bounce back. Put the headset on. I mean, would you have played it conservatively? Do you have any second guessing of the decisions that were made?
No, I mean, I don't like to be the couch, the Monday quarterback type deal. But you know, when they ran the ball three straight times, you know, and some people thought, it was the drive before they went down and they got three. You know, you had to force them to use all their timeouts. In that situation, now people are like, you got to be aggressive. They're like, well, no, you got to force them to burn all their timeouts. You did your job there. You know, you flipped the field. off the punt. A great job. You mean you put you're in a great situation to win the football game. Defensively, maybe you don't go man in those situations when they have no timeouts. You play zone, and you just try to get home with four, or you pressure rush like they kind of were doing with five, bringing Barry or Dedrick Young. Once the running back was staying in the protection, you win with zone coverage. All you had to do was keep him in front of you and keep him in bounds. You know, maybe that's my only second guess. Look, I had no problem with him going for it on fourth and short in overtime. I liked the call when he first did it. I liked the aggressiveness. Yeah, looking back at it, would have been nice to have 3 points. Yeah, but your kicker missed a PAT and even a field goal earlier. Doesn't make you still feel good, even though when he missed a putt, it's still in your back of your mind. Or I said putt after a kick, but that stuff still hangs in your mind. So, let's be honest. I mean, I don't even want to second guess that what happened in overtime, because you should never have gotten there. The defense should have stepped up and made a play on the 2 fourth and 10s. That's really the end of it. I mean, that should have been the end of the game. Game over. Nebraska wins, 31-24. You should have got off the field on the fourth down. As simple as that. So really, if there's any second guessing, it's let's keep them in front of you. Let's not give up the big play to Nagel. Let's not get in too many man situations where your backs get turned. You get some pass interference calls. If anything, that's my second guessing. But again, I'm not a defensive coordinator. I'm not getting paid the big bucks to make those calls. And it is what it is. And hopefully, the players and the coaches learn from this going forward.
Jay, about 20 seconds. What's coming up on Big Red Wrap Up, bud? Tuesday night.
Well, we'll be chatting about another loss. Unfortunately, I think Blake Lawrence will be our guest, and just I'm gonna break down the two fourth down conversion plays, and a good. We'll end it on a positive note with one of Zigbo's good runs. So it'll be my kind of my little film breakdown. But we'll keep chopping away. Hopefully, one of these days we get to talk about a win on that show.
Bird, we'll see you Friday at the Graduate, bud. Thanks again.
Yep, you got it, Schmitty.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Great stuff today from Jay Moore. And from Charlie McBride, and from you, all first hour calls and thoughts on Northwestern about what irked you. We'll get into some Minnesota tomorrow. A reminder about your friends at Sauter Heyman. Every girl dreams of a 1-carat diamond. Right now, Sauter Heyman's offering a spectacular 1-carat solitaire, and it's only $100 a month. Danny, take notes. If there's a Mrs. Danny out there, that's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much she means to you. Whether it's her very first ring or it's time to upgrade, do it now. Limited time offer with Sauter Heyman. 1-carat diamond, a 1-carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month with Sauter Heyman. SauterHeyman.com, and two locations in Lincoln, 12th and O downtown, or South Point Pavilion, or out west in Grand Island, SauterHeyman.com. Okay, there's so much to get into. One thought here from Frost on confidence, and that's what's going to be built up this week. Here's four things we do well on defense when it comes to blitzing. Here's four things we do well in coverage. Run them. On offense, O-line, get me that yard. I don't care if you got a show on loop. Al Pacino's Inches Speak from any given Sunday. Make it happen. I talked to my quarterback. As good as he's been, as young as he is, you had an interception in the end zone, and you got Spielman there, you overshot. You airmailed two or there's about four throws you want back. That's being nitpicky. But it's also part of those 100 ways you lost that Frost is talking about. But can confidence become a real thing on Saturday?
I didn't ask anybody to answer, but kind of wanted them to think about it. At that point, were you thinking about, I'm going to go finish this, or were you kind of in the back of your mind thinking, oh no, here we go again? I'm sure there were some guys like that. And even if there wasn't the majority of what they were thinking, it was probably in the back of their head. And naturally so, they haven't won in a while. But we need to get over that hurdle as a group. And if you expect to win and count on winning and you know you're going to win, as coaches and players, you need to find a way to win that.
Okay, again, Northwestern Nebraska's on BTN right now. Take a drink. It's 28-14. There's 13 minutes left in the game. And you have Thorson find his favorite slot guy, the ghost of Ebert, right, from back in the day again with Northwestern. no. This Caped Crusader went for 220 on you, Nagel. You're up 28-14, and Nagel goes for 61 yards. Why in God's name are you playing man? Just a question. Do you have personnel that can play man? Here are your cornerbacks. You have Boodle, who plays his butt off, and he got hosed a couple of times on penalties. Lamar probably played his best game. You saw a little bit of Cam. And then in the nickel, you didn't see Boodle because you didn't want to take him off the other guy. So you had Aaron Williams. Aaron Williams targeted 10 times, 10 completions, 2 penalties that were declined. And Aaron Williams, a guy that can come up and hit. He can tackle. He makes tackles in the open field. He's your best tackler. So he's got to be on the field. But does he have to be playing man defense on Nagel? Just asking for a friend. That ain't fair to him. Because they went from bad to worse in that fourth quarter. Amnesia or not in the secondary. And you saw different combos at safety. You saw Dismuke in there. You saw Neal with a big-time interception. You saw Antonio Reed. Antonio Reed played his butt off. We'll have Antonio's pick as part of the electrifying play of the game. I mean, Antonio did great, and then he hurt his hammy. Maybe that altered things. I don't know. The ultimate uniforms, I don't care. I think they look okay except for the helmet. There's my fashion take. Let's send it to GQ. Danny, let's talk about what you're going to say to the bookie today. Give us a fact check on how the weekend went at Danny Burke 5, the Pride of Chicago. How'd Friday forecast go for us?
Schmitty, it's looking up for you, my man. 2-2. I also went 2-2. So we kind of tied there. So let's recap it here. So the first one was LSU-Georgia. This game I hated the most, and I instantly regretted taking it. I took Georgia -7. You had LSU +7, so you got me there. We both said Georgia would win, obviously, though. And then
we were way off on that.
Yeah. And then Oregon-Washington. I had Oregon +3.5. You had Washington -3.5, Oregon with the outright win.
Jeez.
And then Wisconsin, this one hurts. This is the one I said free money. I thought it was. A lot of people thought it was. Wisconsin +9.5. They
got rocked.
They had one
drive, the answer drive, to make it 7. And then Wisconsin absolutely looked like a second-tier program on a national stage.
100%. 100%. I loved
every minute of it, to be honest. You know what kept me from crying? The fact they were getting their ass kicked on national TV.
Yeah, that's fair.
That was okay. And guess what? A couple more are coming. They'll be 9-4. They'll be at the Outback Bowl again, which is cool.
It's better than no bowl.
I'm my point is this ascension and this run at taking down Ohio State. Iowa's going to win the Big Ten West.
They just might. Northwestern might even put a run for their money as well.
Yeah, Northwestern.
They're at the top of the conference.
How about Sparty? Did you touch Sparty?
Nah, I did not.
That was 13.5.
Yeah, I stayed away from that game.
And Kansas City got the cover by the hook.
Yeah, I had Patriots money line in that game.
Okay.
But so then the final game, Nebraska Northwestern, Schmitty, 31-28. Look at, oh, wait, it was reverse teams. You almost had it perfect, buddy. Nebraska plus 4.5 for both of us, except I said Northwestern would win, so I had the slight edge on you there. Otherwise, we were tied.
So is that a loss on my part, or is it
I don't
just
know.
A tie?
I mean, there's a tiebreaker, I guess. So, I mean.
What's the tiebreaker? Are we going double or nothing? Do I get to put off buying you a giant roast beef or what?
I don't know, man. I mean, or do we just go by the Nebraska game as a tiebreaker? That's the question. Do I get the slight edge?
I don't know. I mean, we both won.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess we could do it again next weekend.
Yeah, let's just roll it over.
All right. But, yeah, and then, no, but then I had a bad day the rest of college football. I had, like, the over in Oregon, Washington, got that. Football, I did fine. Falcons, -3. It scared the crap out of me that play.
That thing was bad.
Almost scored. Bears game is brutal. I kind of stayed away from that, though. Had some good teasers and trying to think what else. Patriots got a money line. But, yeah, not a terrible weekend, not the best.
All right. That means Danny can make rent. We'll wind down on Monday. It's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
He's out slinging again. Thorson taking a deep shot. Intercepted at the three-yard line by Antonio Reed.
Great game by Antonio Reed, and that's your electrifying play of the week. Nebraska, Northwestern, Huskers lose it, and it's brought to you by your friends at IBEW, electrifying play of the week. What a career, not just a job like working with your hands, but need income. While you're training, check out buildingnebraska.org. NECA, the National Electrical Contractors Association, and IBEW Local 265, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They're accepting applications for statewide apprentice program, great wages, benefits, pension, while training to become a professional electrician. Find out more, buildingnebraska.org. NECA and IBEW Local 265, the power of partnership. What the hell was this about with there's 3:58 left. Thorson's blitzed. It's 3rd and 10. This is the drive where they get three. And there's 2 out of 3 plays where there could be intentional grounding. One was a screen play Nebraska got after him on. They don't throw the flag. But it's 3rd and 10. Thorson's hit. And he it's like he's downing and clocking it. He spikes it. Okay? There's nobody. He didn't even go past the line of scrimmage. And they just waved it incomplete. Not a fumble. I thought that was... There's about 3 or 4 calls. And I know Nebraska was brutal with penalties. But there's 3 or 4 either non-calls or calls that screwed Nebraska. And you've earned your reputation. I get it, but man. Let's get folks qualified for Nebraska and Minnesota tickets. We'll give that away Thursday at 5:25.
Dear Lord, in the battles go through life. We ask for a chance that's fair. A chance to get all the stripes. A chance to do or dare. If we should win, let it be by the code. My faith in honor held high. If we should lose, stand by the road. Cheers, winners go by.
To get an opportunity to come back here is special to me. Words can't describe how much it means to me to be back here in a place that I love, a place that I understand, a place that I want to represent.
Caller 9 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 9 qualifies for Nebraska-Minnesota tickets. We'll even throw in a pair of Blur tailgate party passes. Want to remind you about Madonna Proactive, their biggest sale of the year going on. You pay nothing until January 2019 for that membership. Madonna Proactive, 56 and Pine Lake Road in Lincoln. MadonnaProactive.org is where you can log on, 402-420-0000. Dial up cardio, strength training, pools, aqua track, basketball courts, a walking track, upstairs, and 130 classes. The sale goes on now. Get signed up through October, and you pay nothing till 2019 with Madonna Proactive. Danny's going to go get his swole on. I'm going to go swim. I'm elegant like that. Tomorrow at 4, we'll talk to you on Hail Varsity. Thanks for all your input today. We love you.